It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
It's us. We're on. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here. Sunday morning, 6 past the hour. Looks like we're going to get some rain today. We'll give you a forecast coming up. But we're talking about money today, politics, the world that we live in. Fascinating week in politics and economics and markets, you name it. You've got the Trump. We'll talk about the Trump trade again today, how we continue to think that there's probably more left in the tank than the media lets out when it, as far as policy actually getting done in Washington. We know that Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Agreement this week. Setting up a week, I probably call this week, Who Hates Who in Washington? U.S. added 138,000 jobs for May with a new, even lower unemployment rate, 4.3%. Just continues to go lower like a car sale at a big car lot. The prices just keep getting lower. And then fake news on active versus passive. There has been, what I've realized now, just fake news for a long time on this same argument that we've touched on off and on for the last couple of months now. But new breaking news on fake news when it comes to active passive investing. And then probably the most important part of today, do the markets at these all-time highs, and the market made another all-time high this week, NASDAQ, Dow, S&P 500. Does that signal danger in itself? Because I know it's very disconcerting if you're an investor. So if you're an investor that tuned in the show, you want to hear this part of Money Matters this morning. If you're tuned in to hear about Trump and politics, you know what? Guess what? We'll get to that too. And if you tuned in for the weather, guess what? We'll get to that too. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Let's start with markets here. Oh, by the way, phone lines open. Last weekend, we had just kind of an interesting week where tons of phone calls. People had questions in the world, and all of our servers were down because of the lightning storm. This was last week, so nothing worked. So we weren't really ever able to take any phone calls last week. It was very frustrating. I don't know if you heard the frustration in my voice, but it was that's frustrating. Live radio becomes unlive, even though it is live. But this morning, we should be fine. So phone lines open here for Money Matters. Luke Moss joins me in the studio. He's nodding. He can't wait for your phone call and question. So the number here, 404-872-0750. You have questions about an IRA or a pension question or a lump sum, which continues to be a very dominant theme in the economic world we live in. Of course, you know that a big focus, what we talk about here, Retire Sooner Than You Think, the name of my book, but that's the real world, helping folks figure out a way to retire, maybe even just a year sooner. And that's the predominant theme I see from big companies, whether it's AT&T, or it's a company like Lockheed Martin, or it is, or IBM. These are all just in the last week or so, I've seen folks that are saying, you know, it looks like I may be out of here a year or two before I thought I would be out. And they're offering me this, should I take it? What are the economics behind this big pile of money or 3 months or 6 months or 10 months of severance to leave a little bit early? How do we walk through that? Maybe it's a question about an IRA or 401k or just a mutual fund or an ETF, exchange traded fund, or just an individual company that you have a question about, individual stock, then we're here on Sunday mornings to take your phone calls and your questions and give you fully just objective advice. That's what we do here on Sunday morning. We're one of the last radio programs on money around the planet that still does that. So good morning. The phone line's open, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. Or if you're listening in Texas, Washington State, California, Michigan, or my home state of Pennsylvania, next to Kennett Square, I read an article about this last night, still the mushroom capital of the world, billion-dollar industry, by the way, 1-800-WSB-TALK. So let's talk about this market all-time highs. This week, Dow up about 0.5%, another 0.5%. S&P 500 up about 1%, and then the NASDAQ up 1.5%. just on the week. So year to date, this is what's interesting. Really a solid year. If you didn't look at markets and just looked at the news up until this point, and here in the studio today, we had more London terror attacks last night. 7 people killed, 40 plus people injured in what are very, very unsettling terror attacks. And that just follows. Yes, there were terror attacks not long ago, only a week or so ago in London. Again, you wake up, and then all the political discourse of turmoil here in America. You wouldn't think that markets would be having a good year. Yet here we are, year to date, the Dow's up about 7% year to date. The S&P 500 up close to 6.5%. Or actually, the S&P dividend ETF that we talk about so often, if you count dividends, up close to 6.5%. And the S&P 500 up almost 9% on the year. Corporate bonds up over 4% if you count interest. So there's a lot happening that's net positive on the year. If you look at the All Country World Index, ex-US, up about 16% on the year, not to mention the NASDAQ up 17%. So even though this year has not felt good, it hasn't felt like there's no happy-go-lucky, no one's skipping along down the lane, yet here we are with positive returns so far in 2017. And again, despite all the churn in Washington, all the mudslinging, all the investigations, all the backbiting, all the infighting, could the world of politics, as I look at one of my kids here in the studio, could it breed any more hatred? Kathy Griffin this week and her Trump photo stunt. No wonder nobody ever wants to be no kids want to be politicians anymore. I have this vivid memory of third grade when I drew one of these, and we all did this as kids, and I think our kids still do this. They should if they don't. You draw that picture. It's the what do you want to be when you grow up picture. And I remember this because my parents were kind of shocked. I grew up in a totally non-political household. There was no talk of politics at all in my entire childhood growing up. I don't even know if my parents voted. They were that kind of, that was the environment. But for some reason, what do you want to be when you grow up photo or picture that I drew, it had an American flag on it and a picture of the White House and had an oversized helicopter. And for some reason, I thought I wanted to be a senator. I wanted to be a senator. What a glamorous job. And obviously, this would have been in the early 1980s. Now, when I talk to my kids about politics, and I say, hey, would you guys ever want to be in office one day? Would you want to be a politician, guys, one day? They look at me and they're like, Dad, you're crazy. Why would I want to do that? People just hate you if you're the president. Why would I want to do that? So the tide has turned. Maybe we're at a generational, emotional low point in America when it comes to politics. And I hope we are. I hope it can get better from here. I know that you're out there, you're listening to me, you're probably shaking your head. You're like, nah, Wes, sorry, bud. That's not going to be the case. It's going to get worse before it gets better. I don't know if it gets much worse from here. Today, congressional approval, job approval continues to hover around, a pretty pathetic level. 17 to 18% congressional approval right now. No wonder my kids think I'm crazy when I ask them if they ever want to be a senator. The good news is that the market, the stock market, which what you care about here, you and I talk about this, trying to get to retirement, maybe it's a year early, maybe it's just getting there, period. At least over the long run, the equity markets, the capital markets, at least over the long run, I'm not saying in the short run, because yes, politics definitely has a big impact in a day or a week or a month or even a particular year. But over the long run, the market doesn't care about who hates who in Washington. It cares about things like the number of jobs that get added each month and the amount of wages that are going up or if they're going down. And if consumers are spending or not spending, or housing prices, if they're going up or they're going down. And of course, if companies are churning out increased profits or they're not churning out increased profits. And what I wanted to talk about today, which leads me to this topic, which I think is a very important one, I want to answer that question. Do markets at these all-time highs, as you have a positive week, up 0.6 on the Dow for the week, up almost a full percent on the S&P 500 for the week, we're continuing to plow new highs. Once you get to a new high, every time the market's up even at 1 nano percent or 1 fraction of 1%, it's still an all-time high if we're operating from all-time highs. So you hear this in the news and it gets made, there's an awful lot of fanfare around it. And yes, it's a little bit disconcerting. Hey, markets are at these all-time highs. Does that mean we're about to crash? We're going to have a big correction because we've lived through this. We've had two of them, and this is part of the wall, almost a permanent wall of worry that's been created in our generation, because we went through 1999, 2000, 2001, where S&P 500 dropped about 50%, and the NASDAQ dropped almost over 80%. So there was just this dramatic loss in stock markets. And then people kind of forgot that because we chugged along in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then we had another one of them, another economic meltdown. Of course, this one precipitated not by a technology bubble, but by a housing bubble. And we saw the S&P 500, the broader market here, not just the niche NASDAQ, drop by almost 50%. So that put up what was a temporary wall in our minds of stocks back in 2000, 2001, a relatively permanent wall that is etched into our economic and behavioral finance psyche, that is this wall. It's a permanent wall of worry, and I don't think it goes away. Just like my Aunt Willie, who lived to 107, she grew up smack dab in the middle of the Depression, and she always had that mindset. It never went away. She always was nervous about spending money, regardless of how much money she accumulated. That's the same thing that's happened to our generation. If you're in your 40s or 50s or 60s, it may be even worse if you're a millennial because you grew up watching your parents get very nervous about markets and stocks. It's a permanent wall of worry. So that's where we are. But the question is, from here, are we about to crash because markets are at an all-time high? And I want to answer that question today here at Money Matters. Again, the phone lines, we will go to the phones here, 404-872-0750. When Money Matters returns, straight ahead here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a weekend morning. We're going to go right to the phones. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. James in Lilburn. James, what's up? Good morning. How can we help?
Yes, I've heard of a fixed index annuity someone is trying to sell me, and the way it's been explained to me, there is no downside risk of losing any money. You have a return tied to, say, for example, the S&P 500. For example, in this particular fixed index annuity in 2016, the return was 11.82. In 2014, 10.23. It seems like the only downside is you're tying up money for like 10 years, which in my case would not be a problem.
You know, I'm skeptical of that. The fixed index annuity, James, and a really important call, because this is one of the most misleading products out there. And what's interesting, is it too good to be true? The answer is yes. A fixed index annuity, first of all, it's not an investment. It's not a security. It's an insurance product. It is tied. They try to walk and talk like an investment product because they tie it to the S&P 500, but they could tie it to anything. They could tie it to the number of oranges that grow on the orange tree in the back. Oh, well, if this grows 100 oranges, we'll give you a percentage upside of those oranges with a monthly cap. But these fixed index annuities, they're really the equivalent of putting yourself in jail to avoid injury. It's like, oh, I better put myself in handcuffs so I never break my arm. That's effectively what these insurance products really do. They are not investment products. They're not even governed by the SEC because they're not securities. They're insurance products, number one. They are most investors that I've seen over the years are sorely disappointed in the performance of a fixed index annuity over a 3 and 5 year period, because they're led by these false expectations. And that's number two. Number three, I think you're better off if you're trying to keep money safe, keep it in something safe, meaning that keep it in a bond ladder. Do something high-quality corporate bonds. At least you have liquidity at that point, unlike a fixed index annuity that'll lock you up for 7, 8, 9, 10 years before you can get to the money without penalty. I don't like products that do that. Hey, you're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning, 35 minutes past the hour. Wes Moss, your host, here to take your calls and your questions. Today we're talking about really just another fascinating, just a ridiculous week in the world that we live in. A lot of this driven by politics, obviously. Politics, economics, markets. Trump, of course, pulled out of the Paris Agreement this week, setting up, just a continuing episode 7 of Who Hates Who in Washington. We had a really strong jobs report, up 138,000 jobs in May. Let me back this up for a second. You're going to read that it wasn't a really strong jobs report, just a lukewarm jobs report. Still 138,000 jobs, nothing to sneeze at, but the rate continued to come down, this time now down to 4.3%. Again, you're going to read that, well, it only came down because labor force participation dropped, people backed out of the labor force. If you back out of the labor force, then if you're no longer looking for a job, then you're no longer unemployed. You're just retired, and that or temporarily retired. So you drop out of the unemployment numbers. And that's the pushback you're going to hear, that wasn't a really strong jobs report. I would say that it's a pretty decent jobs report. And we're getting to a point where employers are actually having difficulty finding people because the labor market's still pretty tight, or actually getting tighter and tighter. So the less people even out there to fill the jobs that are needed. When you get to a period of time like this, it's hard to continue to drop the unemployment rate much lower than where it really is, i.e. full employment. I do want to get to this active-passive argument and the fake news that surrounds whether you can still put money in a mutual fund or a smart ETF or even buy a stock, let's say, that does better than just the general market over time. Can you still do that? I think there's an awful lot of misinformation out there about the topic, and that's why it's been a theme throughout 2017 for us here on Money Matters. And then are you worried? Are you worried that the market continues to plow higher ground from here, despite what I'm calling a permanent wall of worry in all of our minds? Let's do a quick weather update. Of course, brought to you by Shoemate. 70% chance of showers today, high 85, despite the rain. Sounds like a tropical jungle to me. Or the botanical gardens. What is that? A rainforest, some sort of arboretum. 70% chance of showers today, high 85. Rain continuing tomorrow with a low of 68, high 82. Let's go to the phones here, too. 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio, 1-800-WSB-TALK. William joins us from Gwinnett. William, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can I help?
Hey, Wes, I just wanted to get your opinion about automated investment sites like Betterment and their non-retirement accounts. I like to know the type of investor that would be best suited for something like this, as well as some of the benefits and negatives of using their service.
Now, you mentioned, so what William's asking about here, there's been this real, you can call it an evolution. I would call it a ever so slight evolution, William, in the investment world over the last several years into what is deemed robo-investing. And you hear about companies like Betterment, Wealthfront's another name. I continue to talk about over time, a company by the name of Wella, W-E-L-A, that I'm involved with. It's technically a robo or digital advisory firm. And the question I think William has, which is relevant to all of us listening, is that is this new term that you'll continue to hear more and more about, is there something new and better about, quote, robo investing or robo advice or digital financial advisors. Now, have you, William, you had all, there's also another nuance I noticed in your question. It's something about whether it's retirement account or non-retirement account. Is that, did you mean to ask that piece of the question, or is this more broadly, hey, are these robos a good idea or not?
No, specifically for the non-retirement accounts.
And why do you ask that?
Simply because I was considering investing into something like this, but I didn't know whether it would be best to go with something that was automated and pre-programmed, you know, to fit my needs, or to go with a human.
Okay. So here, you probably are asking non-retirement because you've already got your retirement accounts over at work. So you probably have 401k taken care of at work, and you're saying, okay, now I have money after, beyond my 401k, and it's, let's say, again, after tax accounts, is a robo good for that? That, now I understand what you're saying. The difference here is that the question is, do you use a robo for any account? So you can have an IRA, William, or a Roth IRA at a robo, just like you can have a regular after tax account. So It really, I would say, it's relatively agnostic or irrelevant what kind of account it is. It really just matters what are they doing from an investment standpoint at that robo that makes them a good idea or a bad idea. I would say the good on robos in general is that they are somewhat systematic and there is a process in place, unlike some human advisors, let's say, that is diligent about doing rebalancing, which is an important piece of investing over time. So most of these robo firms or digital advisory firms are set up to make sure that your accounts are getting rebalanced, whether it's quarterly or semi-annually or even annually. At least there is some eye on making sure your allocation is suited to you, number one. Number two, rebalancing really works over time because it's a systematic way to harvest your gains and effectively sell high and buy low, right? Because if you get overweighted in an area because it's continued to grow and you shave a little bit of that off in a rebalance, you're selling what has done the best. You're reinvesting money into an area that has not done well. And traditionally, that's actually a very good methodology from an investment perspective. So but what's interesting about these robos is they're not necessary. There's nothing dramatically new about them. So I like the systematic part of it. Number one. Number two, the costs are slightly lower, right? And that's why I'd say that's a good thing. What's interesting though is that Vanguard for many, many years has had effectively the equivalent of what the robo advisors are really doing. So Vanguard target date fund or asset allocation fund with an extraordinarily low fee that's been around for decades, let's say, or more than a decade, there's not a real difference in what the robo advisors are really doing. So the fundamentals of good investing are still intact. Good, low-cost investing, like what Vanguard would do, or Schwab has programs for this, Fidelity has programs for this. Our digital advisor firm that I'm involved with, Wella, we do the same thing. Really what it's done is it's brought the same kind of systematic, let's say, relatively low-cost investing methodology that used to be available for people only with $1 million and more. It's brought that to anybody, whether you have 10 grand, 50 grand, 100 grand, what would be considered tiny investments for big investment firms that only want to talk to millionaires and above. Now, with $50,000 at a robo firm, you can get all the same things that 10 years ago, technically, only really the really ultra high net worth could get. So there has been I think that the whole movement of digital advice, William, has brought a better, more systematic way to invest for a lower price to everyone. And I think that's probably the best evolution that we've seen within robo-investing. So to answer your question very simply is yes. To use one of these firms for your after-tax money, I think is a great idea. The question here is just participating in markets. And you could do it at Vanguard, you could do it at Betterment, you could do it at Wella. Really, I think a lot of these areas are good options. Where the question comes in, where the price starts to differ a little bit, is whether you get any sort of human advice or not. And here's where the digital advice, the digital advice movement falls short. And we've even seen this recently in recent announcements by the biggest leading digital advisory firms, Betterment to be exact. They just announced not long ago that they are now offering human advice along with their digital advice or their robo portfolios for a charge of about 0.5% a year, because they realize that people, you can, if investing is free with a robot, then at Betterment, how is that any different than you just plunking $50,000 into a systematically rebalanced account at Vanguard, right?
Yes.
I mean, what's the difference there? What's interesting to me is it's almost as though, is this a big evolution or not? And it's, I'd say it's not a giant revolution. The more that I've looked at the industry, it's not. Think about a big progress or big evolution is like, let's go from a horse and a buggy to an actual engine. Like, that's real technological progress, right?
Yep.
The robo movement is there's some progress there. It's slightly better. But it's more like, hey, I've got one windshield and windshield wiper, and now we've invented a slightly better rubber to go on the windshield wiper. So it's a tiny bit better, sure. But there's nothing really dramatic that's happened in this world. What's happened is that it's there is more low cost advice, systematic advice to more people. That's a big deal. As far as what the robos are doing relative to other investments that have been available for many, many years, not a whole lot of progress. So again, it's a good idea. I don't think I'm not going to steer you wrong by going to one of these robos. The key here is good, low cost, systematic advice, broad allocations, and you're going to get that in almost every robo advisory firm you go to. You're going to get U.S. stocks, internationals. You're going to get some sort of fixed income, depending on your risk tolerance. It's going to be rebalanced systematically over time, and it's going to be relatively tax efficient, which is also something that's really helpful for your after-tax money, to be more specific on your question. So the answer is yes. My advice on the whole industry is that I think it's a robo advice is here to stay, because it's effectively just incremental progress to good, sound, fundamental investing that we've been talking about here on Money Matters for many, many years. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Thank you for the call, by the way. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. It almost reminds me of, think about the world we live in. You think about technology and progress. So I don't know if you've heard of Blue Apron. Blue Apron is you've probably seen ads for it. It's where you get all your groceries delivered in a box. And then all the things in to make a particular meal. So everything in the recipes in the box comes to your house, you dump it all into a pan. It's a more efficient way to cook a meal, right? And they're filing for an IPO. This is gonna be a $100 billion plus company, Blue Apron. There's gonna be an IPO in the not so distant future. Is Blue Apron doing anything incrementally game changing? I guess if you're a big fan of Blue Apron, you say, oh, it's so much better than going to the grocery store. But all it's doing is that it's a slightly new way to market food. That's all Blue Apron is. It's just a little bit more efficient way to get groceries at your door. This time, it's all the groceries you need to make in one recipe. Is it cheaper? Not really. You could argue that it's cheaper because you don't go buy a bunch of junk that doesn't go into the recipe. But it's just another slightly new way to market food and groceries. Same thing with the robo-advice industry. Good fundamentals. It's a way to get people invested and get them going on investments. That's all a good thing. It's a slightly new way for all of that service to be marketed. It's not a bad thing, but it's also not horse and buggy meets engine. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. More Money Matters and your calls right here live in the studio on a Sunday morning. Straight ahead.
Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Let's go back to the phones here. Bill joins us from Canton. Bill, good morning. Welcome to the show. How can we help? What's going on?
Excuse me. I had my
assets, equities allocated reflecting the U.S. economy, which is within a couple of percent, like 65% large cap, 25% mid cap, and 10% small cap. I think it's a couple of percentages off. If I were to add international and emerging markets, what percentage rates should I have in there, and how often should I reallocate that?
Well, the question you're saying is that really how much should you have if you're trying to have a portfolio that reflects the entire world,
yeah.
I think is what you're asking, what would the percentages be?
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be 65% U.S. because there's an off. The U.S. is not 65% of the world economy. It's less than that. So if you were to go and look at something like the MSCI ACWI ETF, let's say, as an example. MSCI is just Morgan Stanley Capital Index. ACWI is all country world index. Mm-hmm. So this is a measure of, to some extent, the percentages of countries around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at that ETF, it's about 52% U.S., 47% outside the U.S. So it's about half U.S. The other half is non-U.S., if that makes some sense. And here's the breakdown, though. The outside of the U.S. is about 23%. A lot of that is Europe. That's the U.K. and developed Europe. But then you also have a pretty significant piece in Asia. So it's Japan and other Asian countries and then emerging markets. You would have South Korea included in that too. So the whole ACWI, All Country World Index, the about half is international, mm-hmm. outside of the U.S. And then of that international, about 90% of that is developed, and about 10% of that is emerging markets. And if you really want to have that a representation of the entire world, where what you're finding is, or where to do that would be an ETF like the MSCI ACWI All Country World Index. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here. We're going to continue to go to the phones at the 10 o'clock hour. There's a lot to talk about. Here we're hitting up on these all-time highs. The market continues to plow forward. The media makes a big deal about it because, yes, it is an all-time high. Even if the Dow creeps forward 1 point or 1/100th of a percent, it's still a new all-time high. Question is, does that set us up for something where there's an issue or not? And we're going to talk about earnings and multiples and are we getting overvalued or not? In the 10 o'clock hour, we'll continue to go to the phones and take your calls and questions. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK to find me and the Money Matters team. Easy to do so, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. More Money Matters straight ahead.